Father, we just thank you for really the incredible love that you have for us. You have proven to us time and time and time again in good times, in our worst times, that you love us, that you care about us, that you are faithful to us. And Father, we just thank you so much for your just unending love. There is nothing that we can do that would cause us to be separated from the love of God. And we are so grateful for that today, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you've left it for us, Father, for us to read it, to see your heart, to see how you think. And we ask you to direct us as we unfold it today, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, the Lord has proven time and time and time and time and time and time again that he is all in. I mean, he did not withhold his only son from you and I. Now, I've said this many times before, I'll say it again. If I was God and I looked through time and I saw all the trouble that we were going to cause him, I would have just scrapped the project. I'd have just said, it is not worth it. But somehow God saw such value in us. We look at our own selves and we know all the things that we do. We know those thoughts that go racing through our minds that we know we're not pleasing to the Lord. We know the things we want to do to people sometimes that we know it's not his heart. And yet he looks at us and he considers us worth it. Yeah. Worth every bit of effort, everything that it cost him. He looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, you are so worth it. And we can't understand that. The only thing that we can do is just accept it and say, Lord, you are too good. You are too, too good. Our worship service today set us up perfectly for what I feel like the Lord is wanting to share today, because the bottom line is that he is a God. The Bible says that we are, all of us collectively, the bride of Christ. And he has so loved us. He has so cared for us. He's taking care of every need. If we took time this morning and we went through this room, there would be such incredible testimonies about what God has done for different ones in this room. Miracles that there is just absolutely no other way that it could have happened except for the love and the goodness of God. But we don't have time to do all of that this morning, but it all exists individually. Your relationship between you and God, he has proven himself to be so, so, so faithful. And we see this in the Old Testament. This was the beef that God had with the children of Israel. He would say, I have proven myself. Have I ever failed you? Have I ever not come through for you? Did I ever not feed you when you were out in the wilderness? Did I ever not make sure that you had clothes on your back? Did I ever fail you in any way? And yet, the children of Israel would look around after a period of time, and they'd say, look at those people over there. Look at their nice, shiny idol. They have actually something shiny to worship. We have, like, nothingness to worship. We just generally know that God's out there. Wouldn't it be nice to have something shiny to worship? Wouldn't it be nice to have something to dramatically throw ourselves in front of to worship? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to do all those things that those people over there are doing that God has told us that we should not do, you know? Wouldn't it be nice? Ooh, there is a really good-looking girl over there. Now, she's not from Israel. She doesn't love God, knows nothing about him, but if I had my druthers, that'd be the one I'd go after right there. Wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have a God who told me not to do that? It's very inconvenient to have a God who tells me not to do that. It's very inconvenient to have a God who has these standards. I don't really think I want to live by those standards. I want to be like these other nations with shiny gods and marrying all the beautiful women you want, no matter how moral and immoral they are. That's how I want to be. And in the book of Hosea, the Lord does this rather dramatic. I am sure that the Lord has had conversations with some of his people from the Old Testament that he used their lives as living illustrations for people to see. It's like God believes in illustrated sermons. And some people have really laid themselves down to do what the Lord asked them to do. And so in the book of Hosea, we have this recorded. It is a life sermon that God laid out there. And he says to Hosea, his man, this is a godly man who's serving God. He's doing what's right. He's living for the Lord. He's doing his best. And he says to Hosea, Hosea, I want you to go and I want you to marry a prostitute. That's what I want you to do. This is not typically what good godly men do. That's not what the Lord has laid out for us. But Hosea said, well, okay. And so he went and he found a prostitute. Her name was Gomer, and he married her. And they had three children together, and each one of these children was given a prophetic name, because this whole thing, the nation is watching him, and his life is unfolding as this illustrated sermon before them. And the Lord is saying to his people, just like Hosea went and he took this woman who gave herself to anyone and everyone for money, but he said, I'm taking you as mine. I'm buying you out of that. I'm taking you as mine. I am going to take care of you. I'm not going to sit you in my house and say, you good for nothing. You are so lucky to be here. No, he loved her and he took care of her. He put her in his house as a wife. She was a wife in every way. They bore these children. She was in his home. He provided for her. He gave her clothes. He put food on the table. She had security. But as this story is unfolding, Gomer started looking out. Man, I remember what it was like back in the good old days. I didn't have to keep house. I mean, I'm kind of tired of dusting. Are any of you there with her? Yeah, I'm kind of tired. You dust, and then you turn around, and it's back again. So what's the use? I want to go somewhere where I can. I'm just tired of all of this stability stuff. And she left this home where she had been provided for and loved and cared for, and she left. And she went back to her life of prostitution. So this is being lived out before Israel. Everybody's seeing what's happening. And so, after a period of time, the Lord came to Hosea and he said, okay, I want you to go and you bring her back. He already brought her once, you know. She wasn't the ideal wife that most people look for. And he had brought her and loved her and cared for her, and she threw it in his face. And God said, go get her. And you bring her back. Well, now she belonged to somebody. Somebody's using her, making money off of her. And so he had to get out his wallet. He had to pay out his good money. And he paid out every penny. And he brought her back. He brought her back as his wife. And what the Lord was saying to Israel is, this is what you are doing, and I don't like it, and this is my heart, and I'm going to keep coming back after you. I am going to keep coming. I'm going to keep finding you. But this, what you're doing, going after these shiny idols and going after all of these ungodly women and trying to do their practices and sacrificing your children and living like all these people that I brought you out of, this isn't right. Because I have been faithful to you. I have been good to you. I have provided you. I have taken care of you. I have been a good husband to you. And this is how you're acting. And so Hosea got to live this all out before the people. You know, our lives before God matter. They matter for you, and they matter for God because you're in relationship, right? You know, how I have known people over the years who have said things like, I heard this statement. We were in a public place, so I couldn't really have a personal conversation about it, but a woman just said, you know, yeah, my husband, he took off with another woman, but you know, I don't hold it against him. I mean, you can't help who you love. Well, God doesn't agree with that. And God has said, I'm loving you when you're all sweet. Did we have something to share with the whole congregation, love? Did you want to say it openly? Or?
I said, and most women.
You know, and so God has said to you and I, it doesn't matter what's going on. I'm going to love you. I'm going to take care. On your good days, I'm going to love you. On your bad days, I'm going to love you. On your rebellious days, I'm going to love you. But I just want you to know that my expectation is that you would stick by my side and quit looking at all the shiny things that are out there. Quit looking at all the things that the world is dangling in front of you, and that you would be my loyal and faithful wife standing together with me. You know, those of you who have been married, are married, you know, you work together in life, don't you? You don't say, I'm going to do my thing. This is what I want. I want a cabin in the woods. And the other one says, well, I'm going to go and do my thing. What I want is I want to live in an apartment that's about 500 square feet, so there's no maintenance, no cleaning. And you got two people going, no, you don't do that, do you? You work together on a common mission, going in a common direction, working together on one thing, and standing at the side of God, being honored as his bride. God's saying, don't be looking all out there. If you do, I'm going to love you. I'm going to come and I'm going to get you and I'm going to bring you back. But don't be looking out there. Don't be looking at the world and everything the world has. Don't be wanting what they want because they got nothing. I have withheld nothing from you. Nothing. You know, if you would give your only son, nothing tops that. There is nothing else left greater that you could give. And he says, I am all in, and I want you to be all in. Yes. So now we're going to look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 25. Because I love every one of you here, and we're looking at things from two different perspectives. In Matthew chapter 25, we're going to look at verse 1. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, the Jews had lots of fun at weddings, and this is something that they did. You didn't quite know when that bridegroom was going to come. It was kind of like a surprise thing, you know. And so the girls would all hang out together, and then they would hear, he's coming, and all they'd all jump up, and now we're going to the wedding, we're going to the party. It's so exciting, she's going to get married. And so there's these 10 virgins, and they're all waiting out there together, and they got their lamps, and it says, now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. I mean, the Lord doesn't leave you to guess how he feels about this. Jesus is talking here. He says, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. And in case you don't connect the dots yourself, I'm going to tell you at the end of the story who the wise ones were and who the foolish ones were, so you can be like the wise ones and not like the foolish ones. And so he says, this is verse 3, those who were foolish took their lamps and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and also in their vessels with their lamps. So you got the 5 foolish ones. They've got their old-fashioned oil lamps, but they have no reserves. They have nothing else left. They're not prepared for any duration. But the 5 wise ones, they're in this, and they are ready, and they're ready to wait. As long as it takes, they're going to have their backup oil for their lamps. But it says, but while the bridegroom was delayed, he was really good at the whole surprise thing. He's like, I'm going to make them wait. I'm going to make them wait. And so while they were waiting, they all slumbered and they slept. And a midnight cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. And then all those virgins, they arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. You have to choose Jesus. And there is not an ongoing, endless time throughout all eternity in which you can do that. The time that you have for you as an individual to choose Jesus, to accept what he did. He's already done what he did. He's not redoing anything for you. It's not like you today say, okay, I want the Lord. And it's like, okay, let's start at the beginning. I'm going to go die for you. No, it's done. It's like, he's done the whole thing. He's paid the ticket. All you have to do is pick it up. One time my husband, I'm not real big on nail care and stuff. And so I don't know if it was a hint or something, but for Christmas he gave me a gift certificate to get my nails done. I don't like making appointments, and then you make them, and then you got to keep them, and then you got to be at this perfect place at this perfect time, and it's just not really my style. My daughter's horrified, but I'm like, oh, supercuts, I've got 5 minutes, let me run in. And then they mess the whole system up. They let people make schedule appointments ahead of time, so it doesn't work for people like me anymore, so my hair gets longer and longer. I'm trying to keep up with Kimberly here. So my husband got me this gift certificate for a nail appointment, and so I didn't, and one day I came across this, it was like maybe 2 years later, I came across this in my purse with, you know, all my little cards and things. I thought, today's the day, I'm gonna walk in that mall, I'm gonna go up to the nail place, I'm get my nails done. And I walked into the mall, and I looked and looked and looked, and I said, where's the nail place I can't find? I said, that nail place, oh, it went out of business a long time ago. I missed my window. I mean, there was nobody even to go to say, can I get his money back? I mean, can I have $30 for something else? They were $30 back then, they're not now. I had missed my opportunity. And that's the way it is with Jesus. Is your opportunity is while you are here, standing on this earth, living and breathing, you get to choose him. Amen. He doesn't make you. Can you imagine making someone? Because, I mean, I've made people in my image, and I have tried to make them do things. And it works for a while, but it doesn't work forever. And then there's no more making them do things. You got to work and try and get them to be cooperative. So he made us in his image, but then he's like, okay, you can choose what you want. And he lets you choose. He lets me choose. Yeah. But in this story, Jesus is saying, choose wisely. Be ready. Because when the Lord comes back, then the choosing is done. Yes. When you leave this earth, then the choosing is done. There's no more choosing. Your opportunity for choice has expired. And now you have determined your destiny by what you did or did not choose. So I want every person in this room to walk out of this place today knowing that you have chosen the Lord Jesus Christ. We're just going to pray together right now. Some of you have grown up in religious settings. You've grown up with people who were, they knew God, and you were next to them, and it was just like, well, I must know him too, because I'm around you all the time, but you know, they can't choose for you. You have to choose for you. I can't choose for you. I want to, but I can't. I can't choose for you. Every person has to choose for themselves, and it's so simple that if you weren't even in your right mind, you could choose. We used to have a girl who was handicapped in this church, and anyway, she's not with us any longer, but one day, Pastor was talking about this. She couldn't speak. She raised her little hand and wagged it around. She chose. I have one of my cousins. She has also a very, very handicapped son. And they were talking one day, and she had asked him a million times, "You want to be baptized? You want to be baptized? You want to be baptized?" Baptism is not salvation, but it shows. I'm wanting the world to know that I've chosen Jesus. And he can't talk. He can't communicate. And he knows sign language, but she was speaking with him, and she said, "Do you want to be baptized today?" This is like the 100th time she's asked him. "Yes." It's not hard. Anyone can choose because God made it easy. If he'd have made it hard, I might not have been able to do it. You might not have been able to do it. You might not have been able to get in. But the Lord made it where every single one of us is able to choose. So let's take a moment right here. I want us to just bow our heads. And if you have never chosen Jesus, and I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus expects your loyalty and your faithfulness. This is not a just, I don't want to go to hell thing. This is, I want to live my life with someone like that thing. I want to live my life standing by and committed to somebody who is so incredibly committed to me. So let's bow our heads. And if you have never chosen Jesus, if you have never said, "I receive that free gift of eternal life," I want us just all pray right together. We can all pray with those who are choosing today for the first time. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for not withholding him from me. Thank you for allowing him to lay down his life for me. The one who knew no sin paid for my sins so that I could know you, so I could be your bride. I receive the gift of eternal life today. I give my life to you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen." So I want everybody in here to be ready. When the Lord comes back, I love every single one of you. I want everyone that I know and everyone that I love, and I even want the people that I struggle loving. I know that once we all get to heaven, I won't struggle loving them anymore. The struggle will only be here. It won't be there. I want them all to be in heaven with the Lord forever. So we have to choose. We have to choose well. In this life, once we've chosen, the Bible talks about, Jesus gave another parable about four kinds of soil. It's actually a parable, we call it the sower and the seed. And the sower went out, and the sower is God. And he's sowing seed. He's sowing his word. He's sowing the good news. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. He died for you. The seed's going out. It's being scattered. But what happened to the first bunch of seed is kind of like what happened with me one day with my dog. I made me a lovely sandwich, and I put it on my plate, and I remembered I was eating outside. I remembered that my drink was inside. I went for the drink, and when I came back, there was no sandwich. And he looked very innocent, but I knew he wasn't. I knew he ate the whole thing and the time that it took me to get my glass of water. And that's what happened with the seed. It says the birds came and picked it all up. It was supposed to do something. That sandwich was supposed to fuel my body, feed me, give me all sorts of nutrients and energy for the day. And I had to make another sandwich. And so that's what happened to the first kind of the soil, is that nothing happened. Second kind of soil, it was rocky soil. And the Bible says that, or Jesus said that, because there were rocks there, the roots went down, the seed sprouted, the roots went down, but there wasn't any depth. And so that, it just kind of, you know, the first hot day that came along, that's the end of that. Some of y'all, that's happened in your gardens when you thought you were taking care of them. And the first hot day came along and it's like, what happened to my seedlings? They were there yesterday. And today all I see is little things that have all shriveled up. But the third type of soil is the soil where I think we struggle as believers the most. There's four kinds of soil. Only one kind was fruitful. The third kind of soil, we're going to look at this. We're going to sort of look at this. Because we have all these time restraints, you know, because y'all are super busy people. You got to go do stuff. And Pastor, he won't be happy with me if I preach too long. So it says, okay, the ones that fell among the thorns. This was the third kind. Imagine Pueblo West. You know, a patch of tumbleweed has sat there all winter. And that is where you choose to plant your lettuce seeds. How's your lettuce going to do? It may sprout. But man, those tumbleweeds, they sprout bigger. And they get big. And so it says, the ones that fell among thorns are those that when they have heard, they go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Some translation said that they become fruitless. That means, have y'all ever seen a little bitty fruit on your thing? And then you went back and it's like, what happened to my little bitty fruit? There was some there and now it's not there. It was on its way to becoming fruitful, but it became fruitless. There are three that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give this parable. They all quote this one. This is what, in Matthew, this is what it lists as thorns. It says that the thorns are the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. How many of you have been distracted by cares? Like someone you really, really love does something that, is really not good. And you struggle getting that cast on the Lord. You're like, I know I'm supposed to. Okay, here you go, Lord, for the 150th time. I'm casting this care on you. But, I'm letting that care be on me too. Mm-hmm. Cares. There are cares in this world. I don't have enough money to pay what I got to pay this month. All sorts of cares that are different all over the world. And then number two that Matthew listed was the deceitfulness of riches. Riches are not bad, but they can be deceitful. Riches can say to you, if you just have me, everything will be great in life. But how many of you know that there are a lot of people who have lots of riches and everything is not great in life? Those who are more prominently known among us, you find them all so, you know, they got all these cheery and they're telling the world how to live their lives. And the next thing you know, they've taken theirs. Because they had all of those riches, but they didn't have any quality of life. Those are deceitful riches. And when you go chasing after those, thinking this is going to make life wonderful if I just had money. No, it's a weed. It's a weed growing up, choking out the good seed of the word. Then Mark, he lists, he says this. He says, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. Other things. What other things? I don't know. What are your other things? I have my other things. What are your other things? They are things that are just taking up, soaking up the sun of your life, the time of your life, the nutrients of your life, the things that the Lord is trying to give you. They're just soaking it up and choking it out. Choking out where you're supposed to be going in life, your purpose in life, what you are headed for in life with, here is the Lord, and here is you at his side, and yet you're getting all distracted. It's like, but it's shiny. It's very, very shiny. I like shiny things. And the Lord's like, over here, but just I'll be right back. It's very shiny. I like that. You're not a magpie. You are an eternal being. And then In Luke, it puts it this way. It lists cares and riches. Those are apparently two biggest. And then just the pleasures of this life. You know, the Bible says that the Lord put things on this earth for us to enjoy. He's given us freely all things to enjoy. But he has never intended for us to put all of our attention on the pleasures that we enjoy. They are a part of our life. But how many of you know that if you focus on those things, they can become a distraction in your life? There's nothing wrong with them, except that you're allowing them become front and center in your life, and now they're choking out your fruitfulness. You know, for almost 10 years, we were not able to have children. I cannot tell you the grief that that causes. And then, I mean, out of nothingness, I looked at the Lord one day and I said, Lord, you know, I've been raised in a family that believes in healing, believes in the divine, believes in the miraculous, and here I am almost 10 years. It's like, what in the world is wrong? One day I just went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I have done everything I know to do. I know you want me to have a baby, and if I'm going to have a baby, you're going to have to show me what to do. And he began to do exactly that. Within 6 months, I was pregnant, and we had boom boom children. And but I cannot tell you the grief that people experience with that lack of fruitfulness. It's like, I want to reproduce. I want to have children. I want to make people in my image. Oh, and the Lord is the same way. He's like, I don't just want you there. I want you to be fruitful in life. I have all sorts of pleasures for you. I have all sorts of provision for you. I have riches. I have relationships. I have so much good things, so many good things for you. But I want you to be fruitful. I want our life together to be one that is fruitful, not that is centered around, I want a boat. How am I going to get a boat? How am I going to talk my wife into wanting a boat, because she didn't want a boat? So I got to figure out how I can get my wife to want a boat. If we just had a boat, we'd have something to do besides go to church on Sundays. I'm teasing y'all. If I just had a boat, I mean, I could catch so many fish. Our grocery bill, oh, I'm going to tell you, I'm writing that one down for my wife. Our grocery bill would be so reduced if I had a boat and could catch all of our fish. We would just be just fishitarians. That's all we would eat, fish. And then life would be good. I'll fish every afternoon. I'll fish every weekend. Put fish on the table. We don't have any grocery bills. All you have to grow is a few vegetables in your garden. So we get ourselves focused on what is supposed to be just a blessing. It's a blessing that comes. You know, the Bible says that when the Lord brings you something, he doesn't add any sorrow with it. And you know, how many of you have ever, ooh, you saw a shiny car. Oh, it was so shiny. And it had like that glitter paint. And this is for my husband. It had a heated steering wheel. And it had the little bun warmers. And then if you were, oh, you had a little ache. Oh, it massaged you. I was in a friend's car the other day. I was driving her, and she pushed the buttons. And all of a sudden, my seat started massaging. I'm like, you pushed the wrong buttons. It's massaging me, not you. She just grinned. She said, yeah, I just wanted you to experience my massager. You know? So you see something shiny and like, oh, the Lord wants me to have this. And so you go and you get it. But then the first payment comes and there's great sorrow. Because the massager doesn't quite hit you where you needed it to hit. The bun warmer, if you're like me, it's a little too toasty. I can only have it on for like 30 seconds and then I'm fried. You know, but the Lord doesn't add sorrow with things. When you do the things in the Lord's way, when you put him front and center, it's like, it is you and me, Lord. It's you and me walking through life together. Other people, they're going to let me down. Just realize it's going to happen. You shouldn't be all falling off the apple cart when it happens. They're going to let you down because they're people. They get distracted, they get confused, they get deceived. But Jesus at the end of the day is going to be you and me, because I know that that will never be you. You will always be right there with me, and I am always going to be right there with you. It's going to be you and me together, walking through life, being fruitful, producing fruit in this world, bringing people into the kingdom, maturing in who I am in Christ, learning more and more and more and more how to be like Jesus. You know, he is really, really nice. And I try to be nice most of the time, but sometimes I don't pull it off. But the more that I'm with him, the nicer I am to be around for other people. And so the Lord, he says this. He says more than once, I am a jealous God. I'm just laying it out there for you. When my husband and I were dating, he just told me one day, he said, there's just something about me that you need to know. He said, I have to have affection. I'm not one of those, you know, touch me not. Are you okay with that? I'm like, oh, I'm okay with that, yeah. But he's like, this is what I've got to have. And you know what? The Lord is a jealous God, and he is not okay. He still loves you, and he's still going to run after you, and he's still going to keep bringing you back. He's still going to keep whispering to you, hey, no, over here. He's still going to be putting people in your life who are like, hey, what you doing? Like out in the world, doing all that stuff that everybody else has done, and it like took them under. And it took them years to get out of that, and they had to go through all sorts of things to just get back to normal. What you doing hanging out there for? He's going to send people into your life, but he's never going to quit on you. And at the same time, he stands there and he says, but let me tell you one thing about me, is I'm a jealous God. I don't share well. I am not okay with you going off and looking at shiny things. I am not okay when you go off and you look into the world for things that you should be receiving from me. I'm still going to love you, but I want you to know that I am not okay with it. You know, God is not, Jesus said this. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And nobody, life, and nobody, I mean nobody, comes to the Father except through me. He's the door. He's the one that you walk through. There is no other way to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is a jealous God. He wants your heart. He is not like one of these, he's not like the lady I talked about, like, you can't choose who you love. I just chose to love this one today. He's not like that. And he will never be like that to you. You know, sometimes I think God plays favorites, especially when it comes to certain redheaded people over here. Sometimes I'll be like, Lord, I mean, do you like ever say anything to him? I mean, do you like ever tell him when he's naughty? Because you tell me when I'm naughty plenty. So do you like ever, I mean, is he like your favorite or what is the deal here? But you know, that's just us. That's just us in our flesh. The Lord has no favorites. He loves every single one of you just as much as he loves Pastor Mike. He loves those little bitty babies in the nursery just as much as he loves you who gets up and does something for him. And he's so perfectly happy with them just laying there and just going, he's like, are they awesome or what? I mean, he is love, and he has chosen to love you. And my prayer for us today is that we would choose with all of our heart to love him.
Amen.
With the same intensity and the same commitment that he has loved us with, yeah, to the best of our ability. So let's bow our heads today. Let's pray together. Father, you are incredible. Lord, every single one of us in here, our minds could quickly go to places when our lives were dark, and they were dark because of what we did, not necessarily because of what somebody did to us, but our own choices. And Lord, in those places, you loved us and you pursued us and you brought us out and you set us beside you. And Father, I pray today that each of our hearts would be turned towards you. That there would be nothing in this world that we would be drawn to more than you. That we would truly live every day endeavoring to love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength. Knowing that anything that we give to you, that you will give back to us so many times over, we'll never be in a deficit. Father, I pray that our love for you today would be sparked. Some of us in here, Lord, have allowed our love to you to just, if we looked in a fire pit, it'd be like a single little ember. It's there, but it's hardly doing anything. And Father, I blow on that today in faith. Come to life. Come to life. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you always, always will leave the 99 and go after the one. And each one of us have been that one, Lord. We've been in that place where we just did our own thing and we ended up in a mess. And here you were, faithfully coming after us. Not admonishing us and scolding us, but just rescuing us, loving us, caring for us, healing us. Father, help our hearts return to our first love. That we would love you like we did, Lord, when our heart first sparked towards you, when we received you, and we're so excited to be your bride, to be a part of the family of God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.